We're looking this morning at Mark chapter 10 and verses 46 to 52. Great need, a great crowd, and a great saviour. I think they're the things that stand out and feature greatest in this little account, just seven verses here in Mark chapter 10. Great need, well, of course, that is blind Bartimaeus. We're told his name here, we're not told the name in Luke's account or in Matthew's account of this man, but Mark gets his name. He tells us he's the son of Timaeus. Where's his father now? Maybe he's dead, but he's not able to help him because he's begging. Not only has he got no sight, but no support, no means, and really no hope. Great need. A great crowd, they seem to figure. Verse 46, we're told there's a great multitude. It's Passover time. It's the time when crowds of people went up on the road. And we're on the road here, out of Jericho, going up to Jerusalem. Soon the Passover will take place. Crowds will throng through the streets of Jerusalem. And they come up singing their songs up the roads, 15 miles or so for the annual feast. A great crowd. And a great saviour. What an amazing statement in verse 49, and we'll see it a little bit later. Jesus stood still. What do you want me to do for you? Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Immediately, he received his sight and followed him on the road. A great saviour. So let's look at those things in a little bit more detail. Very simple this morning. A great need. A great need. Verse 46 tells us they came to Jericho. Jericho was literally a tale of two cities. The old city of Old Testament fame. Ah, Jericho. Yes, of course. In the days of Joshua. Well, the walls collapsed and fell down. Command was given, wasn't it, not to rebuild that city. Well, the old city was a pile of ruins, a pile of rubble, a pile of stones. But a new city was built. And Herod the Great, had beautified the place, made it a place of national attraction, really. It was known as a little paradise. Apparently it had marvellous villas, an amphitheatre, a Roman baths. There was so much to see in Jericho, set down there in the plain, not far from the River Jordan. So much to see. Bartimaeus couldn't see anything. To him, what others could see in the world was darkness, empty, and dead. Great need. To be blind in those days, without means and support, left you begging on the streets and dependent upon the kindness generosity of others. My son works for the RNIB. It is an amazing organisation. I've been round their offices in London, seen the phenomenal work that they do. And Chris designs all sorts of things to help blind people. Give them access, give them help, Braille. At the moment he's helping to design signs in different public places for the Olympics so that blind people can find their way around. Being blind is a terrible thing, but today has so much help. But to be blind in these days in Jericho, to be a beggar, left you in great need. Now we want to apply God's word. And there's a question here to us this morning, isn't there really? Are you in great need? Are you in great need? You're not physically blind, not actually a beggar, but you know you can be in such need that the sensation in life is very similar to being blind. And to being like Bartimaeus, being a beggar, really going through life with very little hope and not knowing what the future will hold. So very often in the Bible, the plight of men without God, men and women, boys and girls and young people, without God, without salvation, is described as blindness. Let me just read these verses to you. They're in Isaiah 59, verses 9 and 10. This is what it says. We look for light, but there is a darkness. For brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon as at twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. And you know, when we go out from here on a Tuesday and at other times, and you may have conversations in your own daily lives with people, and you have to say this, that spiritually, concerning any life or understanding of God, there is dead men in desolate places. I met a man just recently called Richard, who told me at the beginning that life was fine and everything was good. He didn't need God. He didn't see himself as a beggar or a dead man in desolate places. But as the conversation went on, he told me of his three wives and his three divorces. Of the fact that he'd worked for Rolls-Royce for 20 years and now was on housing benefit. And he was very lonely. To be alive outside, but to be dead inside, is to be like a blind man, to be like a beggar. Luke tells us that there were those who had told Bartimaeus, this blind beggar in great need, that Jesus was passing by. It doesn't tell us that in Mark's gospel. It's assumed that we would just understand that, because blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the road begging, verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. But you see, there were those who told him, Jesus is near. Jesus of Nazareth. And we know this story so well. And we know what happens to blind Bartimaeus. And we know how he received his sight. But think of those people who told him. Isn't it a thrill to you? Isn't it a wonder that you and I have that privilege to say to people, Jesus is near. There is sight to the blind. There is the possession of heaven and all its glory to the beggar. And instead of desolate places, there is life more abundant. That what great things came of that simple act of just telling this man that Jesus was passing by. You know what we can do for those in great need? Chris tells me that people who are blind have amazingly acute hearing. And that's true, isn't it? So here's this man, and he's heard. He's heard. And you've heard what Jesus can do. You may be in a Christian family. Maybe listening on the internet. Maybe you've had some background of Christian things. Maybe had Christian parents. Maybe met Christians. Maybe there's a Christian at work. And you've heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a way, you feel that great need. You can't identify what it is. But you're like a dead man in a desolate place. You're groping along the wall like a blind man. You've heard of Jesus, like Bartimaeus heard. So now there's only one thing to do. And it's a matter of faith to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, God works in the lives of men and women, boys and girls, in many, many ways to make us realise our great need. Now, I don't know what God is doing in your life. And young people, I don't know what God is doing in your life. When I was 17, I really hadn't got a great deal of thought about Christian things. But things began to happen in my life. All sorts of things that made me start to think and question what it was all about. You know, God can do some amazing things. I was telling this man, I said, one day our English master took us to see 2001 A Space Odyssey. Can God use that? You may not have seen that film. But at the end of that film, you don't know what's happened. It asks many, many questions. And I was very disturbed. And God used even that. Who knows what God will use to make you feel your great need? It wasn't long afterwards when my friends invited me to church. So will you come with us to the gospel service? And I came. Because somebody said, come. Come. The great crowd. The great crowd. In verse 46 we're told there's a great multitude. The Authorized Version says a great number of people. The circumstances of the time conspired to bring this great crowd together. Where Jesus was, there was always crowds. Remember, this is Jericho, where the Lord Jesus Christ meets Zacchaeus. Not recorded by Mark, but by other Gospels. And Zacchaeus was a man of small stature. You all know the song. Zacchaeus was a very little man. A very little man was he. Climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. Well, he did. The most remarkable thing. This man climbed into the tree. Why did he do that? Because of the crowd. There was always a crowd at this time when Jesus was about. But now it was Passover time as well. So the crowd which was travelling along with Jesus, some falling by the wayside as they went from one town to another, some gathering with him, would have been added to by this crowd going up to Jerusalem. Soon it would be the 14th day of the month Nisan, which is April to us. And that day was the beginning of the week-long celebrations of the Passover. And he had to be in Jerusalem for that time. Great crowd of people. And to these people, Jesus was a great attraction. Some would say a great distraction. There was something different about him. We mentioned that last week. Something different about his whole demeanor now. Something about what he had said to his disciples. But there was something about him anyway that attracted people. Their religion was a formal religion, a strict religion, a code, an impersonal thing. A God who was distant. A God who had to be sought through the priest and the sacrifice. Not a friend. Not a saviour. Not a God who was near. That's the case with so many religions, isn't it? How different Jesus was. So real. So personal. So there was a lot of talk, no doubt, about what might happen in Jerusalem. What might happen when he got there. This was a tinderbox thing. And we will see it in the next few weeks. How it was. And what happened. But out of this crowd, again and again, came this cry, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It was Bartimaeus in great need. In the great crowd, one man, or two. But Mark centers upon this man. Bartimaeus. We're told in verse 48, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. Why did they silence him? Why did they try and stop him? Why did they say to him, be quiet? I'll leave you to think about it. Why would they do that? But you know, we're all in a crowd today. Every one of us is in a crowd. You're at school, you're in a crowd. You're in a group. At work, you're in a crowd. Not on our own, are we? We're in a crowd. We're in among our contemporaries, amongst people. What does the crowd say? The crowd says, you can't wear a cross around your neck at work. The crowd says, you can't stand up for biblical principles in your bed and breakfast business. Crowd says you can't be foster parents and take the children to church. Crowd says you can't pray for God's wisdom before a council meeting. There are some elements of the crowd, aren't there, who are always saying, be quiet. Be quiet. Don't talk of Jesus Christ. Don't talk of these things. So why then, and why now, do people say be quiet? Why do people not want to know about Jesus Christ? Why is it when we speak to people in the open air, wherever we are, they say, oh, no, I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Be quiet. Maybe it's because of what Bartimaeus is actually saying. What is he saying? He is saying, Jesus. Well, that's his name, isn't it? Jesus of Nazareth. That was who he was. Luke tells us that they had told him that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby. But he didn't stop there. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. That was dynamite. We might not realize it, but let's put it into context. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7, we know those verses so well from Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah tells 600 or so years before Jesus came into this world that there would be one whose name would be the Son of David. He would be the rightful heir, as it were, of a kingdom greater than David's kingdom, an eternal kingdom. This would be the Son of David, the Son of God. Of his kingdom there would be no end. This is the eternal Son of God. Bartimaeus, who told you that? Who told you that? They told him that Jesus was passing by. But who told him that this was the Son of David? Great David's greater son. The one whose kingdom would never end. The wonderful one. The counselor. The mighty God. Jesus said to Peter, didn't he? On another occasion. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter. But my Father. This man, Bartimaeus. Blind physically. Was given amazing sight and understanding of who this Jesus was. We see this as a simple account, a remarkable miracle. We read it in a few moments and we pass it by, but we must not, because here is this man crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now that places a challenge upon those around. And like our day today, there were those around in the great crowd who said, be quiet. We do not want to hear that. Because if we hear it, it has implications. C.S. Lewis said it so humorously in a way. But Jesus Christ is either who he said he was, a son of God, or he was the biggest egotist the world has ever known, and is not worthy of a moment's consideration. And I think he compares him with a poached egg, a lunatic. But it was revealed to Bartimaeus just who he was, the Son of David. So you're in great need. And you begin to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And all around, everyone says, be quiet. You don't need that. There is surely another way. You don't need religion, you don't need this Christianity, you don't need this Jesus. There's always going to be a great crowd, young people. Now is the day of salvation. There's always going to be a great crowd, and it's going to get bigger, and it's going to shout louder at you, and it's going to tell you in stronger terms, and it's going to tell you very subtly and very directly, be quiet. Why don't you come now? Your great need. Say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because I can see my great need, and I can see who you are. and what you can do for me. And that brings us to the third thing, doesn't it? The great Saviour. A great Saviour. Amidst all this confusion and all these voices and this shouting and people jostling, Bartimaeus would not know how many people he would sense it, perhaps, whether he could sense where Jesus actually was. But he shouted even the more loudly, it says. So there was a whole cacophony of sound going on. People, movement, talking. It tells us a remarkable thing in verse 49. Jesus stood still. I've always loved those words. I think they are most remarkable, aren't they? Amongst all these people, and all that was on the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. And he had told his disciples in verses 33 and 34 what was on his mind and how soon they would spit at him, mock him, scourge him and kill him. And knowing all that, he stops to deal with a man in great need. What a great Saviour. What a mighty authority is his in verse 49. You see that? Jesus stood still. But when Jesus Christ stands still, he commands authority. He commanded him to be called. It changed the whole thing. It changed the whole event. It changed the whole demeanor of all around. The crowd changed. They said to Bartimaeus, "Be of good cheer. He is calling you." The authority of Jesus Christ. The change in everything around. The care of the Saviour for this dear man in all his need. Those two disciples had said to Jesus, "We want to sit on your right hand and on your left hand." Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he didn't do it. But when Jesus asks the same question, exactly the same question, for a man in great need, he simply asks, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And immediately, he was made whole. Think of the power. Think of the miraculous and amazing power in the very words of Jesus Christ. Think of the radical change in the life of this man. He received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. This man had never been anywhere. He'd never done anything. He'd never gone out of town. He'd never seen anything. He'd never done anything. He'd never achieved anything. He wasn't anything. And now, he's a follower of Jesus Christ on the road of life. He's got life and sight and hope because of Christ. Warren Wiersbe, in his little commentary on Mark, says, "Desperate people do not permit the crowd to keep them from Jesus." I've said it before, I'll say it again. You've got to be desperate to become a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian because you're not yet desperate. Maybe yet he may need to show you deeper and deeper need before you all come. It's a matter of two things, isn't it, we see here? It's the grace and mercy and kindness of the Lord Jesus. He stood still. He called him. He spoke to him. He healed him. he allowed him to follow him on the way. That's mercy. That's grace. That's great kindness. But it's faith on the part of Bartimaeus, who hadn't even seen Jesus, yet believed. He hadn't seen him, yet he believed. And this Tuesday, a man said, "Oh, until you show me, until I see, I won't believe." I said, "You're not the first person to have said that." But Bartimaeus never saw, yet he believed. It is blind faith. But not blind faith that says, "I haven't got a clue what's in the future." It's faith of a blind man who says, "My need is so great. My understanding of the Saviour is that he can do such wonderful things for me. Nothing else matters. I'll leave my cloak behind. I'll go to him. It's the only place I can go." If you open John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, it begins with Pilgrim. And very soon he's running. And he's running with his fingers in his ears. He's been pointed to a gate and to a light. And he's running with his fingers in his ears because there are those in the great crowd of his day saying to him, "Don't go there. Don't do that. You don't need it." But his fingers are in his ears because he knows his need is so great and there's only one place to run. And he's running. And he's crying as he's running, "Life. Life, eternal life." It's like Bartimaeus threw aside his cloak, came to Jesus. He said, "Rabboni," which means master, my personal master. Not just Jesus, not just Son of David, Son of God. But master, I want to be your slave. We're back there again. To follow you in the way because of what you have done for me. Did you notice Mark's favourite word in verse 52? You see it? Immediately. 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 Jesus did these miracles for two reasons. Firstly, always to prove who he says he was. Miracle after miracle, different miracles, different ways, different types of people, different circumstances, different ailments, over and over and over again, no one could have done these things except he was who he said he was. But the second reason why Jesus does these miracles, and they're recorded for us and explained for us in the detail that they are in the Gospels, is to show us what it is like to be saved, to become a Christian. It is to show us great need. It may be that that need is a need of the lame man, or the blind man, or even the dead man, that time and time again, it shows us the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with your greatest need. And it's not physical blindness, or ailments, or even physical death. It's your need of forgiveness of your sin. And they're all pictures for us. None of them are complete. None of them tell us everything. But every one of them points us to this truth. That immediately Jesus comes into your life, things change. things change. Be of good cheer. He's calling you. Will you not come? Will you not come to him? Will you not cast your cloak aside? Will you not say to him, Jesus, Son of David, Master, that I might receive my sight, that you might deal with my greatest need? And on the cross, there he dealt with the greatest need of every one of us, the need of forgiveness of sin, the need to be right with God, the need for eternal life. Rabboni, Master, to change my life, that instead of sitting by the road, begging, without life at all, in blindness, I'm walking with him on the road, with life, and meaning, and purpose, and eternal security. Let's pray together. Lord, how we thank you for these direct and simple, straightforward, but amazing accounts of the miraculous power of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for every illustration that you give us of what it is to become a Christian, to come from blindness to sight, and even death to life. Lord, we pray, please bless your word today, here, wherever it is heard, and we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.